A controversy over a cereal brand has raised a discussion over what we mean when we say natural foods, and whether too many food products have misleading labels. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, May 4th. A growing number of people have been buying Kashi cereals because they taste good, presumably, and because they tout themselves as being healthy and all natural. So a lot of people were upset recently when a grocery store pulled Kashi cereals from its shelves, claiming that the brand contained GMOs or genetically modified organisms. We are going to talk about what happened and why, and welcome your thoughts and questions, and wonder if you feel you were misled by Kashi. What do you mean when you say natural foods? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mark Castell, co-founder and director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we are happy to have you because the Cornucopia Institute first broke this story about Kashi cereals having GMOs back last fall, right?
That's correct, Joy. We published a report titled Cereal Crimes. And we used the prepared cereals and granolas in the grocery aisle, sometimes in the natural foods aisle, sometimes at Whole Foods, sometimes at Walmart, and the foundational retailers in this state, the food co-ops, the member-owned co-ops. This is where people are seeking out food that they think is healthier and, quote, natural. And so we decided to take a look at all the brands, Kashi being just one of them, but having the largest market share. And we took a look at how they were practicing their businesses in terms of, some would allege, quote, greenwashing, nothing more than conventional food and with a fancy package. Manufacturers are really cognizant of the fact that people are hungry just not for the food, but for the story behind the food. They want safer food for their families, but they also, some folks are finding a spiritual connection, I would say, to eating more consciously. It has an environmental impact. It has an impact, certainly, in an agrarian state like Wisconsin on the livelihoods of the people who produce our food. And what we found in Cereal Crimes is that there were a lot of products that were very high-priced, which had that fancy story, but were in essence just the same kind of conventional foods that Kellogg's or Post or the other large manufacturers were selling.
Well, tell us your reaction to what happened in just recent weeks when the way I understand it, a grocery store might have been in Rhode Island pulled the Kashi cereals from the shelves, put up a sign that said, Kashi contains GMOs or genetically modified organisms. It's not all natural. And that particular photo of the sign and the store shelf just went viral on social media. And a lot of people got very upset with Kashi. So what was your reaction to that happening, you know, just in recent weeks when you mentioned this last fall?
Well, last fall we had coverage in some of the more traditional media outlets and a lot of trade publications. And both with Kashi and a few other prominent brands prior to that, like the Silk Soy Milk brand and the Horizon Milk brand, both of those are owned by the giant dairy Dean Foods. When they've kind of misled consumers, many stores around the country have dropped those products. If you went into the Williamson Street Co-op in Madison, you won't find Horizon products. And so this is consumer activism, and in the case of this web flurry of late, I would say citizen journalists. It was a store, a natural food store, so a specialty retailer, in Rhode Island, and they didn't just pull the Kashi. They pulled Mother's Brand, which I believe is owned by PepsiCo, and a few other of these, quote, natural brands that were very deceptive in their marketing practices. And they posted on their own Facebook page a sign that basically explained to their customers why they made this decision. And a lot of folks do shop at natural food co-ops or independently owned stores because they feel that the owner managers are vetting the products and keeping high fructose corn syrup or genetically engineered components out of their diets. And so in this case, the Facebook community, I guess we would say, shared this with their friends, and this thing has been viewed thousands of times. It's now been covered in USA Today and many other papers in the country, and now Wisconsin Public Radio. So this is a case where citizens themselves are taking the responsibility to educate themselves and their friends and family, and the news media are followers.
And we certainly appreciate that you are also broadening this. It's not just Kashi, but using that as an example here. Kashi said, well, our food is natural, but our soybeans have been genetically modified. Almost every soybean grown in this country has been genetically modified. Is that true? And is that does that justify Kashi saying it's all natural?
Well, no, I don't think it justifies. People will ask the question, well, either what's the difference between organic and natural labeling, or what is natural? The organic is a very closely regulated term in the food system. You can't put the name organic on your product without it being independently certified and in an accredited accreditation system under the USDA. And there are very tight standards. You can't use certain agricultural chemicals. In fact, almost all toxic agrochemicals are banned. In livestock production, you can't use antibiotics and hormones and synthetic fertilizers. And so we know what organics is. Natural is, the definition is whatever the sales or marketing manager decides it is on any given day. And so what is Kashi's definition? Well, it's a little squishy. I can't think of anything more unnatural than patented genes developed by Monsanto and with a genome in either the soya plant or the maize, the corn, which has never existed on this face of the earth, which has never been a part of the human diet. And to label that natural, I think, is pretty unconscionable. But besides for the GMO issue, and we found 100% of the soy genetically engineered in their Golean products from Kashi, but besides for the genetic engineering and their other products, not just the soy products or the corn and other products are likely genetically engineered, though we only tested for the soy. There are all kinds of agrochemical residues, and the USDA and other independent labs have tested the nutritional content of organic food and found it to be vastly superior to the industrial model of agriculture and in a nutritional sense. So when you buy organic, you're getting something. It's, quote, value added. When you're buying natural, it might be a fancy package. If they're making claims, they're limited claims, and they're claims that aren't verified by any independent source. They're self-serving to the marketer.
So what would you like to see in terms of labeling, or what should happen so the public is not misled on this issue?
Well, I'd say there is some talk about regulating the term in Washington natural, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think in the meantime, our mission at Cornucopia is to empower consumers and wholesale buyers so they can make these discerning marketplace decisions. As long as they know that natural doesn't mean anything, and if they make labeling claims, they're a very narrow set of claims and possibly not verifiable. We hope that more consumers that are concerned about the health and well-being of their families, the impacts of their diet on animal welfare and on the environment, will choose certified organic food.
Mm-hmm. What about a non-GMO label?
Well, those are proliferating. There is a group called, quote, the Non-GMO Project. We are looking at them closely. We're not 100% comfortable with their protocols yet. They are funded by the corporations that they certify, so that's a direct conflict of interest. Unlike some even organic manufacturers that test, they're not testing every load necessarily of the product. And they've purposely been kind of deceptive. There are companies that are members or, quote, enrolled in the non-GMO project, and they put that on their websites. But the actual number of products, for instance, the Kashi product line, and I want to emphasize that Kashi is owned by Kellogg's. You'll never see the name Kellogg's on the package. You'll only see Kashi. So they weave this tale, but they're only, I believe, three products that they've ever tested and verified or try to maintain is non-GMO free out of somewhere between 50 and 100 different products. We can't quite nail down the exact number. So it's, you know, as they use that language and try to create a green smokescreen, if you will, it's really deceptive language because it's a very small percentage of their product line that has been tested.
We are talking with Mark Castell, co-founder and director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute. The Cornucopia Institute first broke a story that is in the news this week. It's the story involving Kashi cereals. Kashi cereals in some hot water because it claims on its label to be all natural, but it contains genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. And our guest is saying that an all-natural label on a food product means nothing. What do you say? What questions do you have? What's your reaction to this? Are you upset over Kashi cereals for touting themselves to be all natural when they contain GMOs? Do genetically modified foods scare you? Is it a big deal to you? 1-800-642-1234. Do you look for and try to buy organic foods whenever possible? We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts and questions on this issue, and your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of showers and storms, mainly in southern Wisconsin, perhaps some in the west as well. Highs today from 65 in the north to 72 in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay with us for the Week in Review. Coming up after 8, we'll have two guests from different political viewpoints. Today, it's David Blaska and Ed Garvey to talk with you about the week's top news stories. That's the Week in Review coming up after 8, every Friday from 8 until 9. And every Friday after 4, it's Your Views on the News, where you can call in and talk about the story that you think was the most important story of the week. Today, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins after 4 this afternoon for Your Views on the News. Right now, we are talking about the Kashi controversy and what is natural food with Mark Castell, founder and director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute. Lots of callers, Mark, but just to clarify, an organic label means something. A natural label does not.
Well, you had said in your little recap before the break that I'm suggesting it means nothing. I'm not suggesting it means nothing. I'm suggesting it means very little. And, you know, obviously there are some marketers. I know meat, quote, natural meat marketers will say things like no hormones and no antibiotics. And that might be true, but there's not a infrastructure to assure those claims are accurate. And then none of those other claims, or they're not making any other claims. So there might be many other drugs besides antibiotics used, like synthetic parasiticides that are banned in organics. Their animals might be confined and not let outdoors to eat fresh grass, which we know not only do the animals live a much healthier, happier life, but it creates a more nutritionally superior product. So it's just kind of see caveat emptor. People have to be their own detectives. With organics, we have a lot more credibility because there is a federally mandated standard, and there are organic industry watchdogs like the Cornucopia Institute that oversee the USDA to make sure they're enforcing the law. That none of that's true in natural.
All right, let's take some calls. Lucas in Lake Mills is with us. Hello, Lucas.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, what's your thought on this?
Yeah, I just want to say I hope that Mark and those at the Cornucopia Institute, I'm fine with their opinion on everything, but I think GMO is just such a great technology that we can use to help feed the world. And, I mean, there's people mention things like being shoved down farmers' throats or things like that, and that's not true. The vast majority of consumers enjoy products with GMOs, and I think they should. I think it's a safe technology, otherwise it wouldn't be approved by the same government that oversees the USDA organic program. I'm just so happy that we have an agriculturalist, that we have the ability to feed the world with the use of things like GMOs.
What's your thought on that, Mark Castell?
Well, Lucas, I respect your opinion, but let me differ with you in a couple of things. I think the vast majority don't know there's GMOs in their food. There's a push for informational labeling. What is a fact is the vast majority of people, when polled, say they don't want this in their food. In Europe, where there is mandatory labeling, there are almost no GMOs because the marketplace has chosen. There's virtually no GMOs that do anything to improve nutritional quality or the food. In terms of safety, we aren't doing human health care testing. I appeared many times on Tom Clark's show before Joy took over the helm, and talking about genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. That was tested on 24 rats for a couple weeks and then shifted to 300 million guinea pigs, us. And we're now finding that some of these novel genes are ending up in our bloodstream, that they're crossing the barrier in our digestive tract. So the bottom line is, operating in Europe under the precautionary principle, we first prove things safe, and then we add them to our food. You know, how many products like sodium saccharin do we find out causes cancer, and then we pull it off the market after the fact? And so organics is a way for consumers to make a choice in the marketplace, and the meteoric growth in organics over the last 20 years as GMOs have entered the food stream is really a testimony that people don't feel comfortable with their food supply and want to opt out.
Thank you, Lucas. Nancy in Kewaunee is with us now. Hello, Nancy.
Yes, good morning. I'm loving this program. The reason I'm calling this morning is there's several things in the food market that are very questionable right now, including GE fish, cloned food, and now talking about GMOs as well. As a consumer, I want just the right to know. Hiding behind these labels such as natural and whatnot, just put what is on the product. If it's cloned, if it's GMO, if it's irradiated, I think the consumer has the right to know what we're consuming and what we're putting on the table for our children.
Mm-hmm. Mark Castell?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Nancy. Part of the Madison Avenue marketing system is for people to create illusions before our very eyes in terms of what we're actually eating or purchasing. In California right now, they've just turned in enough signatures to create a ballot initiative that will legally require GMO labeling. And if they succeed, that might be the tail that wags the dog of the rest of the country because of the size of their market out there. So let's hope that we continue to have a movement toward freedom of choice. In the meantime, the organic labels are best assurance of that. But there are other states like Vermont. I think there's about a half a dozen states where the state legislators are debating right now whether their people should have this right like Nancy would like.
Guy in Stoddard is with us. Hello, Guy.
Yeah, good morning. It's always amazing to me that consumers seem to have to be the people at the forefront of getting the industry to do what they claim that they're doing and they're selling. I think that this whole idea of certification and enforcement of law, it just appears like there's really no enforcement so often. We create rules and then these corporations turn around and do what they want to. And I was just appalled recently. I know the ABC did a whole series of exposés on Whole Foods and their organic vegetables coming out of China, that there virtually is no oversight on those inspections in China. So it seems to me that it's, you know, buyer beware.
Well, organic foods from China are at Whole Foods, Mark Castell?
Well, I hate to say that, but it's been true. First of all, Guy, I know, is a acute observer. You know, no matter what our first priorities are, GMOs in food, protecting organics, the environment, worker safety, there's somebody who's beaten us to our legislator's door with a $1,000 bill in his hand, and that's the corporate lobbyist. And so until we get campaign finance reform, we have the vast majority of American citizens supporting things like GMO labeling, and the Congress will never touch it because they're listening to Monsanto and Dow and DuPont and the other agrochemical biotechnology companies. They're not listening to us. You know, the Chinese organics, this is where the Cornucopia Institute's watchdog work comes in. We found that the USDA was not adequately supervising the certification. They've ramped that up. But I say that, you know, our population now, we don't trust the Chinese for ingredients in our dog and cat food anymore. Why should we trust them with the soybeans and soy milk or frozen vegetables for our children? And so we do encourage people to buy organic, and we encourage them to be discerning and make sure that they're buying domestically produced, certified organic product.
Let me hold you there because we have news next, and then we'll continue talking about this issue after news. What is a natural food? And how does it differ from organic foods? Does it bother you that some brands market themselves as being a natural food or all natural when they really contain genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, like the Kashi brand that's been in the news lately? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Friday, May 4th. We are talking with Mark Castell, co-founder and director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute, about the Kashi controversy and what this all means, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next caller is Glory in Eau Claire. Hi, Glory.
Hi.
Yes.
I just wanted to point out a video. It has to do with what you're talking about. It's called A Beautiful Truth, and they couldn't get Monsanto to do a face-to-face interview or the FDA, but they did get some letters sent to them about questions about safety of their food. And I'm not quoting it exactly, but Monsanto's made a statement that he's not concerned with the safety of his product. He's concerned with how much he can sell of it. And then the FDA sent, well, it is the producer's responsibility to make sure the product's safe. So pretty much nobody's taking responsibility for the safety of the food that he's creating.
Yeah. Well, Mark Castell?
Well, I think it's of paramount importance that we take responsibility. And I would say in the hierarchy, in terms of our food choices, go out to the store right now and buy yourself some seeds. Because there's nothing better than, in terms of nutritional and flavor superiority and safety, than producing your own food with organic inputs. We have an old saying here in Wisconsin, don't go out to the garden and pick the sweet corn until you already have the water boiling on the stove. If you want it fresh and, you know, just wonderfully flavorful, much of what we buy in the grocery store is, even in the height of the season here in Wisconsin, in conventional and organic produce, comes from California. And that's where the food co-ops are really a farmer's market 7 days a week. So start with your own garden. Next, start in your local food shed. So we now have, I don't know the last count in the country, over 7,000 farmer's markets one of the largest, if not the largest, is around the square in Madison, Wisconsin. And then you can connect with local farmers. Your product was picked the day before, not a week before. And you look them in the eye and ask them how they're producing your crops. And then the third level down, and obviously if you're at a larger market, you'll have a choice. You can choose an organic farmer to meet. And then thirdly, when we go out in the marketplace, seek organic food, because then there is people checking in terms of how it's produced, GMOs and chemicals and other inputs that we might not want to feed our families.
Well, what will it say? Will it say, it will say certified organic?
You can't use the word organic on the front label unless it is certified by an independent USDA accredited body. And so if you see the USDA seal, that's the highest, or if it says organic prominently on the package, that's the highest level of integrity. What Kashi is saying they're going to do in some of their damage control is that starting in 2015, any of their new products will either be tested for GMOs or, quote, be made with organic products up to 70% of the product's content you can put on the front label, made with organic ingredients. So they're not even going to introduce certified organic products. And they're not going to switch over their existing product line. And they're not going to do anything differently in 2012, 13, or 14 to assure that the concerns consumers have are placated. So this division of Kellogg's, one of our major agribusiness companies, is being very deceptive even in their trying to correct this problem. So consumers do, as Glory said, can't depend on our governmental or industry to watch out for our own interests. We have to do it ourselves.
Linda in Bristol is with us. Hello, Linda.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to thank your guest for bringing this to light. I've been purchasing the Kashi brand because of the fact that it's unnatural, and I've been trying to stay away from corn syrup, and I do purchase numerous products that are certified organic as well. Of course, it always comes at an extra cost, but in this case, I had not realized that they were using the GMOs. I'd also like to mention the movie Food, Inc., for anybody that is interested in what they're eating, and the unbelievable tactics that companies such as Monsanto wage against farmers and, you know, making sure that they have a complete hold on the market, and it's a very frightening thing. So again, thank you very much. I will be discontinuing my purchasing of the Kashi brand and looking at spending the extra money to go organic, because I do not believe that these are healthy products. And I find it very scary that we're not forcing these the manufacturers to put what is in the products on the packaging. It's obviously they want to hide this information from us.
Mm-hmm. Mark Castell.
Well, Linda, thanks for taking action in the marketplace. These corporations like Kashi listen to our dollars. They don't listen to us. And for the rest of the listeners and you, I don't want you to just focus on Kashi. There are other brands. I'll give you another example of a brand profiled in the Cereal Crimes Report. And we have a scorecard with all these brands on the Cornucopia website. It's Cornucopia, Cornucopia. .org. And so if you look at Cereal Crimes, you'll see another brand called Peace Cereals. That used to be a 100% organic brand, and a few years ago it changed hands, and now it's 100% conventional. They didn't lower their prices. This is something that really sticks in my craw, that the Kashi brand, quote, natural cereals, and the Peace Cereal brand, quote, natural cereals, are more expensive than many of the certified organic brands.
Mm-hmm.
They're more expensive than, as an example, Nature's Path is the largest certified organic cereal manufacturer in the country. They're based in British Columbia, but they have a plant right here in Wisconsin that helps serve the United States. So they're going to the expense of buying and paying organic farmers for certified organic crops and charging less for it. And believe me, they're profitable and successful, which leads me to conclude that companies like Peace Cereal and Kellogg's Kashi are profiteering at the expense of this confusion they're creating in the consumer marketplace.
So, for clarification, we have a Facebook listener who wants to know exactly what we mean when we say GMO, and in this particular case, what kind of GMOs are in these cereals?
That's a good question. We shouldn't automatically assume everybody knows this. The first commercialized genetically engineered product in the country, ironically, was bovine growth hormone, which has been a commercial flop. It hasn't really helped farmers. What's been most successful are cultivars in corn and soy. They're patented. They've inserted genes through recombinant DNA gene splicing into the genome of a natural plant. In some cases, they're transgenic. So they're genes that have nothing to do with corn. I mean, at one point, they were experimenting with inserting the genes of fish into tomatoes. And so most of the soybeans, about 90% of the soybeans in the United States, are grown with a gene that allows it to be resistant to Monsanto's brand of herbicide Roundup. So they're called Roundup Ready soybeans. The chemical, the herbicide or defoliant that would normally kill a soybean plant, won't in this case. So we've seen skyrocketing usage of chemicals. This GMOs were supposed to get us away from chemicals. We've seen increases. And corn is either Roundup Ready resistant, or they're splicing a pesticide into the corn, into the genome of the corn, so it resists some of the worms, some of the pests that eat corn. And so we're eating that, and now that pesticide is showing up in the bloodstream of human beings.
Yeah, and there is corn, there are soybeans that can be used for cereal products that are GMO-free?
Well, there's a limited amount of production of this country of farmers that won't plant the genetically engineered material or are paid a very slight premium not to. And then there's organic production where the seeds have to be organic. There's testing of the seed to make sure it's non-GMO before the farmer plants it. That's the highest integrity, most supervised system in terms of manufacturers procuring commodities that aren't GMO. So it's available in the marketplace, and a company like Kashi, who claims they can't find it, which is a specious argument because we've even checked with the cooperatives of organic grain farmers in the country, there are surpluses of things like wheat. They could find it if they want it, but like the organic milk business, when there have been shortages, big companies have gone out and given farmers the incentive to switch to organics. Kashi hasn't done any of that.
Bob in Boscobel is with us now. Hello, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Good topic. I'm glad that I got in here right at this point, because my point is related to the Roundup Ready type of GMO, you know, at the plant level. I'm a very new farmer. I've only been farming for a couple of years, and I had a unique opportunity when I started to go to a lot of the ground that I was going to start farming. Just expired from the same few.
Oh no, Bob, we're losing you. We're losing you on the cell phone. Can you just give us your main point? Sorry.
Well, that's too bad. But, you know, the marketplace creates opportunities for newer farmers and entrepreneurial farmers like Bob. We've seen an exponential increase in organic farming. In Wisconsin, we have, I believe, it's the second or third largest number of organic farmers in the United States. We're first in things like milk and a lot of livestock products. So these are one of the things we do when we pay more for organic food in the marketplace is we're paying for a product that costs more because economic justice is built right into that label. So it's family scale operations are able to make a living in organics where they're generally being pushed out of conventional agriculture. So I wish you well, Bob. Sorry we didn't get your story.
Yeah. I think he was going to get to, at least according to my on-air producer, saying that GMOs just accelerate nature. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, yeah, no, it doesn't. Because if you're talking about transgenics, We're talking about taking genes like a pesticide, like a different organism, and splicing that into a corn plant. That's never going to happen in nature. And there are things that we're doing that are really counterproductive. For instance, the weeds are becoming resistant to this herbicide, which is so widely used now, and they're having to up the rates and create chemical cocktails of other chemicals. Now the worms are becoming resistant to this pesticide that's built in. So this is counter to the logic of nature. Now, if you're talking about hybrid plants, yes, that tends to accelerate. It's not genetically engineering, and it tends to accelerate the breeding process. And that, so he might be confusing the two technologies.
Or I was, and I just wanted to I'm sorry we lost your call, Bob. We need to move on. We are talking with Mark Castell, co-founder and director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute, talking about the Kashi cereal controversy of late, and what is a natural food? As many of you probably know, a lot of people have been buying Kashi cereals because they tout themselves as being healthy and all natural. And just in recent weeks, a lot of people were upset when a grocery store pulled Kashi cereals from its shelves, saying that the cereals contained GMOs, or genetically modified organisms. So we are talking about whether this matters and what this means, and welcoming your questions. Checking the weather forecast for today: partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and storms, mainly in the south, maybe in the west. Highs will be between 65 and 72 degrees. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 8, it's the Week in Review. Two guests from different perspectives talking about the top state, national, and international news stories of the week. The Week in Review coming your way in just a few minutes. Back now to the phones for Mark Castell, co-founder and director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute in Wisconsin, and Alex in Madison is our next caller. Hello, Alex.
Hello. I just had a quick question for you, Joy, and your guest. Basically, if something is labeled organic on the label, does that mean that automatically it cannot contain any GMOs, or can we have an organic food that does contain GMOs?
Well, I'll let Mark answer that.
Well, we talk about that as being one of the prime prohibitions. No, organic means that GMOs are banned. Toxic agrochemicals, so pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, those are banned. Synthetic petroleum-based fertilizers are banned. And then there are things that are a little fly under the radar screen. For instance, sewage sludge is banned. So most of the solid waste that we flush domestically from our homes ends up on farm fields. And there wouldn't be anything probably inherently dangerous about that if it was properly treated to prevent disease. But unfortunately, in the United States, our domestic waste stream is combined with our industrial waste stream. So sewage sludge contains a myriad of toxic chemicals, heavy metals, carcinogenic agents. We don't want that in our food supply. It's spread on conventional farm fields, but banned in organics. So organics is a pretty comprehensive regulatory program, and banning GMOs is just one component.
Thank you, Alex. Mike in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that the term natural is vacuous at best and delusionary at worst. If you think about it, the human intervention of manipulating crop genes at the crop level to produce a uniformity of crop ripening, height, and flavor, it's practically as unnatural as manipulating crop genes at the genetic level. We've just done it for so long that we've come to view manipulating crop genes at the crop level as natural. Now, if we practice GMO intervention long enough, we may come to view that as natural as well. So in the modern world, this notion of natural is largely a fiction and a marketing tool. I'll hang up for you.
Before you hang up, Mike, I thought you wanted to make a point that cross-pollination will ruin non-GMO crops. Is that
Yeah. I mean, and there's just issues. Also, this issue of animal pollinators, because they can cross pollinate a natural field with the GMO crop field, because they basically don't care.
Yeah,
so the crop field is natural GMO.
So does that mean, Mark Castell, that the non-GMO crops in organic foods are contaminated with GMOs?
Well, it's not. It's a good question, and it's not unusual to find minute percentages of those genes in or even organic foods, so well less than 1%. It's really hard to keep those pesty bees and other pollinators to respect our fence row.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Cornucopia Institute and others have, in example, sued the USDA to rescind the approval of some of these products, like alfalfa, which is so important to our dairy industry here. That's pollinated through insects. And what makes it really risky is that most of the alfalfa seed is grown in a very condensed area in the Pacific Northwest and Southwest Canada. So if our seed stock becomes contaminated, there will be no non-GMO alfalfa. That hasn't happened yet, and I think we have to fight in the regulatory environment to protect our food. You know, the other really scary thing, and I don't know if Mike was interested in this part. It sounds like he was, but this is a grand experiment. We don't really know what will happen. Remember the Irish potato famine.
Mm-hmm.
If we create plants that are susceptible to some disease years down the line, once we release these genes into the environment, there's no calling them back. So it's been suggested that companies like Monsanto are playing God here. And even if we were accelerating natural evolution, which we're not because we're taking these cross-species genes, we're playing with fire.
Let's take one last call. Barb in Milwaukee. Hello, Barb.
Good morning. I work for a natural foods manufacturer in Milwaukee, and I just wanted to say that Kashi's claim that you can't find organic soybeans is ridiculous. We buy only organic soybeans directly from Wisconsin farmers, and you just have to put in a little more effort and pay double the price, but you do get the quality for it. And the other thing is people should be focusing on buying from small local companies like ours, because then you can call up and talk to the owner. You can actually find out where ingredients are bought and how they make things, as opposed to huge corporations that don't care about people at all.
Thank you very much, Barb. Mark Castell, we have just a minute.
What's the name of your brand?
Simple Soyman.
Okay. We want to reward the heroes, and we can all vote in the marketplace to support the manufacturers that are bringing us pure and truly natural food. So that's why organics cost more. So we need to flex our muscles. People can check the cereal crimes and scorecards rating all the organic milk brands, soy food brands, and these cereals on the Cornucopia website. These companies will eventually come around if we vote with our dollars in the marketplace.
Thank you very much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Mark Castell, co-founder, director of the Organic Integrity Project at the Cornucopia Institute in Wisconsin. We'll put a link to that website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and our website, too, at WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. The Week in Review is coming up next. We'll be welcoming in Ed Garvey and David Blaska to talk with you about this week's top news stories. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.